This is the Friday, July 31st, 2015 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, on the program, you'd mentioned making some sales out in 2016, 2017 on the corn side, as far out as you can make them. And we had a question here from a Facebook viewer named Andrew Bowman. And Andrew's curious, while the bears are in the driver's seat, is it possible that 2016 corn is priced about as low as it can go? Is $3.50 the downside on Dease 2016?
Well, I think that's a good question, but I think, you know, we just came off of some opportunities from a risk management standpoint. So now you're back to what we were talking before the rally. And I think really what you're looking at is what do you think is going to happen with the weather down the road? So it's the same thing back to it. Without weather problems, you're fighting with South America, Europe. We're in a demand bear market probably on the corn market where we're going to have to try and figure out how to export more corn because our ethanol industry is mature. So I would say the downside for 2016, if we're right on the overall direction, could eventually be 3 to 320 again. Upside, you know, we're probably going to get some rallies between now and then. But upside rallies are catch-up selling opportunities. And certainly you saw that 440 to 450 again was a tough area, and 420 is going to be a tough area to start with, and we're going to hover right around 4 for probably a while.
Now, looking at Andrew's question in a different light, from an end user's perspective for feed needs or anything like that, would you be looking to buy out D16 corn at 350 in the chance of a weather event?
Well, I think you always have to use the proper risk management. I think when you think you're in a demand bear market, maybe a supply bear market, you say, well, I don't want to lock in anything tight. So you can go out there and use some call strategies, probably some buying some calls, selling some calls, a window, and even sell some puts below it where you'll take the future ownership if it gets down around 320 or something like that. So I would probably be more prone to do something like that than I would straight out tight coverage, particularly in the cash.
Okay. All right. Well, now we didn't get a chance to discuss the cotton market this week on the program. Down again, cotton has just had a rough coming up on 6 weeks here. Does it look like we're finding a support zone here shortly?
Well, I think the cotton market is very much like the soybean market, that, you know, the soybeans are probably getting into a zone where you find some intermediate support, and that's probably the same thing with the cotton market. But long term, the cotton market is very dependent on what China does. I mean, they're the big elephant in the room. They're backing away from a lot of commodities right now. So you have to say that, you know, probably that bull story is probably already sailed. So I would say that there's more downside potential, maybe a little bit of support right here, and then look for some further downside after we stabilize.
Okay. All right. Well, now we do have another question here from a Twitter follower, Phil, up in Ontario, Canada. And Phil is curious, we've touched on this a couple of times. You've mentioned the great selling opportunities we saw at the beginning of July. And he's curious, the recent run-up and then fall in futures prices, was that due to either misguided exuberance or was that real crop issues that we were trading our best knowledge of?
It was probably looking too much at the Eastern Corn Belt and their problems versus the overall picture where the Western Corn Belt is just terrific. I mean, we've got a lot of areas that we're talking about record crops, maybe in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, the Dakotas. I mean, just some huge areas, some big crops. So I would say it's probably some of that. And it's a good reason why you look at some good risk management strategies when you're rallying up, particularly when you're coming off of some numbers that were supply bearish. And, you know, maybe we have another chance. I mean, right now the crop ratings are telling us we're 163 to 166. I'm not sure the acres total with some of these drowned out areas, but certainly we're going to need something either from the August crop report or for some weather problems to push back up again. But the good news is we're deeply oversold, we're at major support, and we usually get a relief rally going into the August report.
So take advantage of it.
I would say if you want catch-up sales, that would be your opportunity. Remember, there's that gap up at 402. You know, that may be a possibility, maybe fishing behind the net a little bit. We'll see.
Now, as we look out a little bit longer term, you've mentioned some of the headwinds we've seen with China stepping away from some commodities, and we've seen crude really be the beneficiary on the end user side, or if you're long crude, it's been kind of a rough couple weeks. But as we watch this crude market stagnate below 50, and we watch corn here bounce around in the mid-380s. What's your prognosis for the ethanol industry as we get through harvest and into 2016?
Well, the ethanol industry really boils down to how aggressive and how well you manage the crush. You know, that's the big issue over there. So certainly the lower corn is definitely a big plus out there. But, you know, you were talking about the overall Chinese demand and the slowness. But, you know, we're at a 6.5-year low on the CRB index. So that tells you generally that's the commodity basket. So that's what you're up against. You know, we're in a deflationary type of environment in the commodities right now.
And those aren't typically short-lived, are they?
No, you're going to need something to revive it again. And, you know, I think that, you know, what's it going to be? Probably some kind of inflation fears or something with the government is definitely fighting. So it's just that we really caused a lot of expansion at the low interest rates and some of these other issues. So sometimes low interest rates cause other problems, too.
All right. Now, as we're talking the dollar, we're talking international growth. I want to touch on something you mentioned on the program, which was exports on the meat side, protein exports. So let's talk first about pork. Even with the high dollar, we're continuing to see pork exports increase. Is that correct?
Yeah, our exports on the pork are starting to, starting to really pep up here, you know, which is the good news. But then again, remember that we still consume domestically about 75% of our pork. So, you know, it's been the strong exports, but it's also been really terrific domestic demand. And I think part of that can be explained by just the high-priced beef. I mean, people are really cost-conscious when they go to the counter right now. And so, you know, while the hog market's been going, up during the summer, the beef market's been going down, and maybe we're getting that back in a little bit of line from the consumer demand standpoint.
And on the beef side, we've seen exports really, really tumble for beef exports while imports have increased.
Yeah, the exports on cattle are basically down 10%, 9.4% for the year, and the imports are up almost 10%. So it's that's what's happened. The dollar, this dollar is really an issue for the exports and bringing in some imports, not only of beef, but also of the grains.
Now, do you see the dollar continuing to be strong here throughout the remainder of the summer, or are you watching for that September rate increase by the Fed?
Yeah, you know, we're still bullish on the dollar. We think it probably goes over par. It's just you have all the mechanisms in place to keep moving up. Interest rates are going to start to move up here in the U.S. You know, everybody else is still taking their interest rates lower. So, you know, we're strong and, best of the worst, I guess, is what you would say. So, yeah, we're still bullish on the dollar right now.
So continued headwinds for our export products.
That's what we think, and that's why we're thinking a lot of these grains are in a demand bear market, regardless of whether you think the supply is.
All right. Well, Don, thanks for taking the time to join us this week and for sharing some of your wisdom.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks to all of you for sending in your questions via Facebook and Twitter. Please continue to do so, and we will get expert analysis right to you. Thanks for watching, and have a great week.